If you want to follow along for this next segment, and you should, absolutely mind-blowing, go to globalnews.ca, click on the story, Cosmic Cliffs, Dancing Galaxies, James Webb Telescope's First Photos Dazzle. Boy, do they ever. I don't know if you saw the photo that came out last night in the announcement by U.S. President Joe Biden, but I think it was sort of like the really wide shot, and then they've zoomed in on some other things today. They're beautiful. I wish I knew what they were in some cases, and hopefully we can find out, but absolutely incredible photos. Okay, to find out what's going on with the James Webb, these first pictures and the mission itself, we're going to chat with Loic Albert, who is currently the scientific instrument expert for the NIRISS. I'm not sure what it stands for, but it's the Canadian component of this whole mission. It sort of, it locks in the telescope, as I understand it, on whatever it happens to be photographing at that point. But let's find out for sure. We're going to bring in Loic now. Loic, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate your time.
Hey, it's a pleasure. We chose a hard acronym, right, for this instrument?
What does it stand for?
It's NIRISS. It's the near infrared, near infrared and slitless. Oh, I'm all confused. I always say NIRISS. Anyway, it takes images and takes spectra. So that's why we called it NIRISS.
Gotcha. Okay, now, hey, like I say, you're on the team. Tell us about your involvement in the James Webb Telescope. How far back does it go and what have you done?
Oh, yeah. So I personally, I've been working on this for well over 10 years, but my boss, if you want, René Doyon, who was the PI of the Canadian instrument, has been working on this since 2001, essentially. So it's a long, long project. Wow. We're so proud, and for Canada should be very proud about this this project, because we do have an involvement in this. It all started with the building the guider for the observatory, what we call the fine guidance sensor, the FGS. And that's what got Canada involved and CSA, the Canadian Space Agency, involved in Webb, is to build a guider that makes sure that the telescope is steady when we take exposure and it doesn't move, so that we can have exploit all of the resolution that the telescope can provide.
Because if I understand correctly, tell me if I'm wrong here, like we think when we pull out our iPhone and we take a picture, it's snap, we've got our picture. With these photographs, it takes sometimes hours to actually get the full photograph, right?
Exactly, literally. You have to expose, you have to let the photons accumulate slowly, because those things are very faint. And so you need to expose for a long time, hours, days, even weeks, before you get those faint blobs in the image. And and that's why also we need big mirrors, big telescopes, is to essentially collect as many photons as possible. The bigger is the better for this. So with this telescope, we are very sensitive, 100%, 100 times more sensitive than Hubble is at the infrared wavelength.
Yeah. For someone who's been working on this, like you say, for 10 years herself, the Canada Space Agency involved for much longer than that, how rewarding is this? How exciting is it for you to see these pictures coming back?
You can't imagine. Working on one project for that long, and as you know, there were many reports, launch delays, because this is a fundamentally very complex machine to build and test. So it was built, but the testing phase was taking a lot of time to make sure it worked the first time. And so because we only had one shot, that we couldn't repair or fix the telescope once in space. So for me, going through all of those steps to test, get to the launch day, Christmas 2021, and finally going through the 6 months of what we call the commissioning, the essentially testing in space of all of the instruments, and finally reaching today with the release of images, color images. It's really, really neat. Professionally, it's the the best time of my career.
I can imagine. I can imagine. The pictures themselves, are you like me looking at them and going, wow, they're incredible, but I don't really know what's going. I mean, it's so hard to wrap your head around this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I got access to the images at the same time as you. It was kept very secret by NASA. And last night, the first image release of that deep field, I must have stared and do a zoom on the image for well over an hour, looking at every little speckle of light. I even found this is a field of galaxies. We're essentially sitting in our Milky Way, a very busy town of billions of stars,
yep.
And we're looking straight up where there's less stars, looking at the rest of the cosmos, looking at far distant galaxies and exposing for 12 hours. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing then those galaxies appear in our image, and they are very distant. And if you look at that image, you should go back to it and look for the red spots. The red spots are the galaxies that are actually the farthest away. The white ones are closer by.
Okay.
And because the cosmos, the universe is expanding, galaxies that are very distant expand faster than galaxies that are close by. And so as the galaxies expand and move away from us, their light is redshifted by a physical phenomenon called the Doppler effect, just like when you have an ambulance passing by
for the
sound. Okay, the same effect, but for light. And so it stretches the light from blue to red. And if you look at that image, you see the red dots are all the very distant galaxies. Those are the galaxies that we want to study, how the first galaxies evolved and formed, or were they, what shape were they, what brightness were they, were there more very luminous galaxies or more very faint galaxies at that era? So those are all questions that we want to address, and I'm sure we'll be able to address with the web.
Amazing, amazing. I've never heard it explained that way before. Thank you so much for that. The other question I have, we know that when we're taking a look at these pictures, we're not only seeing, we're also looking back through time, right? Because we know some of the light that we're seeing captured by the web, whatever emitted that light no longer exists. Looking at that picture you were talking about, is there any way to know, I mean, is it different colors of light, different size, different placement? Is there any way of knowing what the oldest light is in that image? Does it all look the same?
Yeah, no, that's a very good question. And that's what I was referring to. If you look at the red galaxies,
those are
the farthest away, okay? And when you have a distant object, don't remember that the light that we collected with the telescope took literally 13 billion years to travel through space uninterrupted until it reached our mirrors. Okay, those photons of light were emitted 13 billion years ago by that galaxies, at that time very young, and the photons traveled and we finally collected them now. So it's literally, it's like looking at those photons is like being in a time machine. You see what the universe was like at that time when the photons were emitted. So looking at the images, look at for the red stuff.
Okay.
The red stuff is where it's the oldest things that you see. I mean, it's the farther back in time that you can look at.
Some of the, I guess, more close-ups, if we're going to call that the wide shot, the establishing shot, some of the close-ups of, like, I don't know if it's Stephens or Stevens Quintet, I'm not sure how that's pronounced, and the cosmic cliffs and things like that. What are we seeing in those photos? What stands out to you? Have you had a chance to look at some of those and the nebulas and all the rest?
Yeah, so I to be honest, I had very little time today to look at those images. I did see them, but didn't have a lot of time. But the first one, Stephens Quintet, is an iconic, if you want, picture for even amateur astronomers. When you turn your first small telescope
right
to the sky, that's one target that you like to see. And what's so special about those galaxies, you have four interacting galaxies. So they are like spiral-like galaxies that got very close to each other, and gravity, the force of gravity just stretched those galaxies, and they represent essentially what we think went on in the early universe. At that time, the universe was much smaller, and galaxies were still forming, and smaller galaxies were fusing, merging with each other in the same way that we see the Stefan Quintids today. So they're kind of a preview of what, not a preview, but they represent what the young universe was in terms of galaxies interaction. And one nice image that I looked at today that I really liked is the Carina Nebula. So this is a much closer target, right? We're looking now, we're not looking at far distant galaxies, we're looking within our Milky Way, within our galaxy.
Okay.
And we're looking at a cloud, a big cloud of gas and dust. And in that cloud, there are stars being born right now, at the moment, you know, stars that are less than a million years old. That's very young for a star. And you see the process by which stars form. You see bipolar jets on, I've seen at least one case in that image where, you know, as a dust cloud collapses, it becomes a disk. At the center, a star slowly forms, and it accretes that gas in the disk, and some of that material gets ejected by the star at both poles at a very high speed. And I could see that this morning in the image. So we're witnessing the very young here, not the very old.
Amazing. It is so amazing. And I can't thank you enough for sort of explaining some of it to us, Loic. Just incredible stuff. I really appreciate your time.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.